Today on Locked On A's, we are talking about James Kaprielian shoving again after he returned to the rotation. And then we're talking about Jordan Diaz and Dermis Garcia. Why are they so different as hitters and why could they each have success? And then in the final segment, we're talking about Kevin Smith. Remember him? He's having a month down in Vegas. We're going to talk about that as well. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On A's, your daily Oakland A's podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's time for Locked On A's. Stepping to the mic, it's your host, Jason Burke.
How's it going, A's fans, and welcome to episode 459 of the Locked On A's podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, noted baseball fan Jason Burke, and on today's episode, we are talking about James Kaprielian and just having a game for himself on Wednesday night, and then we're going to be talking about Jordan Diaz and Dermis Garcia and their approach to hitting in the second segment, and then in the third segment, we're talking about Kevin Smith and what could be potentially in 2023. Let's get excited about next season. Maybe not get excited, but let's wish upon a star. Let's do that in the third segment. But before we get started with today's episode, thank you so much for making Locked On A's your first listen of the day. We are free and available on all platforms. Also, please make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you like to hear podcasts. We're also on YouTube, so subscribe to our YouTube channel over there. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On A's. I'm at ByJasonB on Twitter. If you guys have any questions for us, make sure to just join our Twitter community. Pose a question in there. Make some friends. There's lots of great people in there. But today, I want to start off the show by giving some kudos to James Kaprielian, not only for the outing that he had on Wednesday night against Seattle, but for the way that he has bounced back after being put in the bullpen, then pulled back into the rotation. He's channeling any frustration that he had over that decision and doing his best to make sure the words bullpen and James Kaprielian are never thought of together again, because he had a night on Wednesday. The near demotion could have lit a fire under him, or the 2 weeks in between his starts could have also helped give his arm a little bit more life for the final stretch. Who's to say? Either way, he hadn't thrown back-to-back six-inning performances since the beginning of July against the Mariners and the Blue Jays. Maybe the Mariners are the common denominator here. But on Wednesday against Seattle, he went a season-high seven innings, gave up just two hits, walked one, and struck out six. And he went pitch for pitch and then some with the reigning AL Cy Young, Robbie Ray, who tossed six shutout innings of his own. And the Mariners' lone run came in the eighth inning of this game on a Luis Torrens solo home run off of AJ Puck. That is Puck's third home run allowed in eight innings worked this month. While September has not been kind to AJ, and we've all seen it, we've all talked about it, but he still has an ERA on the season of 3.23, and that is with a 7.88 ERA in this month. Obviously, it's only eight innings, and so, you know, but still, small sample size, he's not doing great initially here, and he's had a pretty solid year, is all I'm getting at. He still has a 3.23 ERA. Not bad. It's still below his career ERA, so that's a solid improvement for AJ Puck. Obviously, he did a lot of good in the beginning of the year, and now he's kind of been struggling later in the year, and somebody should probably check to see if AJ Puck is now using Lou Trevino's locker from last season, because those paths are very similar and a little disconcerting. Is the clubhouse like cursed? Is this something that's going to happen every year? Because I'd really hope that it doesn't. Anyways, back to the game. The A's got their two runs in the bottom of the seventh. Jordan Diaz walked to lead off the inning, and then Vimeo Machin pinch hit for Sheldon Noisy and roped a double into left that Diaz scored from first base on. That's one run. And then Christian Pache, he followed that up with a single to right, pushing Machin to third, and then Tony Kemp singled home Machin, and there you go. 2-1, A's win. Obviously, it was 2-0, and then the Mariners scored their run. Doesn't matter. I did it out of order. I don't care. In a season in which the A's are trying to avoid 100 losses, Tony Kemp is really turning it on down the stretch. He's hitting .322 this month with a .394 on base and 13 runs batted in. He had 12 RBI. That's one less than what he has so far this month combined. He had 12 RBI combined in his first 3 months of this season. That's wild to think of, that he's already matched like half a season in just like 3 weeks. Good job, Tony Kemp. The fact that the A's have won the first two games against Seattle, they dropped the third game, and we'll talk about that in the next episode. But they won the first two games against Seattle, with the Mariners being a team that is trying to make the postseason for the first time since 2001. The fact that they have won the first two games is impressive just in general, but that they have done it, that they did this by allowing just two total runs and five total hits to the Seattle Mariners, a playoff bound team, is something that you can kind of latch on to and get excited about for 2023, because they're dominating this team right now. Let's see if it holds true for the rest of the year. Let's see how the A's do against the rest of baseball, because they're going to be facing the rest of baseball in 2023. And that could be good, because they get to face more Reds and Pirates and less, I don't know, Houston Astros. They also get to face the Dodgers more and whatnot. But there are fewer like really good teams, and there's a lot of like, we can beat that team teams. And even the A's can beat the Astros now and again. So baseball is a fun sport. You love it. But coming up on the show, we are talking about Jordan Diaz and Dermis Garcia. I've got some things to say. We're going to say them. Stay locked in. Feeling like you just can't get in shape? It's not your fault. As men age, our body naturally loses free testosterone, or the man hormone. It happens to every man and can make it more difficult to stay in shape and be energetic. Want more energy to counter the negative physical effects of aging? Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Testofen will help you turn back the clock, re-energize your workouts, and get you better results at the gym, and help you look and feel like the man you really want to be. Because Nugenix Total T boosts free testosterone that the aging process robs, you'll feel stronger, leaner, with more energy and drive, and more passion too. Your partner will notice the difference. Nugenix Total T is the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC, and Nugenix Total T can help you re-energize your life and help you get back the powerful, confident, good-looking warrior that you used to be. Now, get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text MLB to 231-231. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator, with key ingredients to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text MLB to 231-231. Text MLB to 231-231. Message and data rates apply. Terms apply. Available at Nugenix.com/terms. Welcome back to the Locked On A's podcast. If you guys are enjoying the show, make sure to hit subscribe wherever you like to hear podcasts. Follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at ByJasonB on Twitter. If you guys have any questions for us, please just join our Twitter community. Pose a question in there. There's lots of great people. Have some fun. Have a party. Just go wild. Just share A's articles. Have fun. Make everybody a better A's fan in the Locked On A's Twitter community. Let's get back into the episode. I also have to mention the night that Jordan Diaz had in his third career game in the big leagues against the reigning AL Cy Young, Robbie Ray. He singled in the second and the fourth inning, going 2-for-2 against Robbie Ray. And then his walk to lead off the seventh was a rally starter that gave the A's the win. He also hustled from first to home on a double. Jordan Diaz had a game. He's going to have a lot of these. And it's not like it was a showy game by any means. He singled a couple of times. He didn't really destroy any baseballs, but that's a Jordan Diaz game for you right there. two singles. One of them was 79 miles an hour off the bat. And he also walked and scored from first. There you go. That's a Jordan Diaz game. Get used to it. He can do this all day. And I mentioned yesterday that having him play second base, a position that he had very little exposure at, was silly. I wrote this on Wednesday night. And in that time, the A's have played one more baseball game. And he played second base again, so that's great. I believe he went 0-for, so also great. Anyways, he was a first baseman / DH most of the season and most of his minor league career. 17 of the 26 games he played at AAA Vegas were at DH. He was brought to Oakland to hit, and this week he's facing a litany of Cy Young contenders. Why throw learning second base on top of all of those other things that he has to do? That was basically what I said in the last episode. And as of this writing, the A's had listened to the podcast. They totally forgot that I ever said this heading into Thursday's game, but they listened to the pod ahead of Wednesday's game because he was the A's DH and he had a heck of a game. He went 2-for-2 with a walk, and then they put him back at second base on Thursday and he goes 0-for-4. I'm just saying, it seems weird that he can have good games when he's DH where he's comfortable and has actually played ever. And then when you put him at a different position, his bat goes away. I don't know. Maybe save that for next year, guys. Just a thought. I also talked about how Diaz could be a very special hitter. First off, he's 22 years old, and his bat is already carried him to the major leagues. That's how good he is. He doesn't necessarily have a position, and the A's are like, well, what else is he going to do down here? He can already hit everybody. We may as well bring him to the majors and have him learn second base on the fly against all of the best pitchers in baseball. That's how good his bat is. They're like, I don't know, let's go with this. Or maybe the A's don't have a plan. Who's to say? But more than that, he had two balls put in play against Robbie Ray, and this is where Dermis Garcia is going to come into play here, because one of the balls that he put into play was 97 miles an hour off the bat at a negative 7-degree launch angle that went for a single. That is a downward trajectory that is into the ground. So keep that in mind. 97 miles an hour into the ground, single. And then the second one was 79 miles an hour off the bat at a 6-degree launch angle that was also a single. Spoiler alert, he went 2-for-2. These are the two balls that he put into play. There you go. Boom. Didn't save a lot of suspense for you guys when I already said that he went 2-for-2. But yeah, 6-degree launch angle is also not very high. But the point here is that he wasn't smacking line drives or making the hardest contact against Robbie Ray. He was making contact and then just putting the ball where the defenders weren't. And that is a very advanced approach for a 22-year-old. And that is the kind of hitter that he is. He's going to just put the ball where they ain't, as the saying goes. And that is where he's going to find some success. But in contrast, Dermis Garcia, who has tons of power, but doesn't have the bat-to-ball skills that Diaz possesses, he hit one that was 104.6 off the bat. So 7 miles per hour harder than the one that Jordan Diaz got a single on. He was, and then he also had it at negative 6 degrees, so slightly less into the ground, but also it's 1 degree. It's fine. So 104.6 off the bat, 7 miles per hour harder, and at the same, basically the same launch angle that Jordan Diaz had. And that one was turned for a double play in the fourth inning. So it's not always about how hard you hit the ball. It's where you hit the ball, and also at what launch angle sometimes. You know, if that had been a line drive and not hit into the ground, that's probably a double. Instead, it was a double play. And that part of that is just baseball. That's just how baseball is. You can hit, you know, a ball, you can smoke a ball. If that was like 120 off the bat, maybe the defender had a harder time fielding it, but sometimes that happens. That just is part of the game of baseball. It's part of the beauty of baseball, too. You can scorch a ball and it will find a glove. But I also think that it illustrates the difference between Jordan Diaz and Dermis Garcia. Diaz did what he had to find a hole, and Garcia is swinging hard each time out because his power is his strength. It's not always the hardest hit ball that is going to lead to success, and that's why, you know, some people have questions about Dermis Garcia. I think that he can be a valuable part of the A's in 2023, maybe not a long-term guy. But I'd like to see him more than, you know, than we have, I guess. Jordan Diaz, only hit 13 home runs in 90 games a year ago in High A Lansing. This season, between Midland and Vegas, he hit 19 in 120 games played. So he's not a slugger type of guy. He can make good contact and put some good swings on balls, but that is not his game, is to just hit balls over fences. He's going to go line to line. He's going to just get you a bunch of singles. He's going to get on base. He's going to keep the line moving. He is a very valuable, like maybe number two hitter in the A's lineup, possibly as early as 2023. That's the kind of hitter that Jordan Diaz is, and that's a lot of expectation. I know that you put one of your best hitters at number two, maybe even your best hitter at number two, but I think that pure hitter-wise, he might be the A's best hitter. I know that, you know, they've got Sean Murphy currently. They've got Shea Langeliers. They've got Dermese Garcia. They've got some guys that can put the ball over the fence. But Jordan Diaz is a guy who could really get an inning going by just roping a little double, because he can make contact. He can do those things that you need every now and then. He's kind of like a Jose Altuve type. And obviously, you know, some of us have difference of opinion on Jose Altuve, but he's a good contact hitter. And that's kind of what keeps racing through my mind is, yeah, he's going to hit some home runs, but he's also going to make some good contact. He's not going to strike out a lot. He's going to put the ball in play. He's pretty decent, just player overall. And maybe that's why the A's wanted to put him at second base, because he's their Jose Altuve, but just like, I don't know, half a foot larger. Anyways, for the rest of the season, I don't care if Diaz is just quote-unquote a DH. Let him go learn big league pitching for a couple of weeks and then train him wherever you'd like to in the offseason, because this kid can hit, and I'm excited about him, and I want to see him succeed at the big league level. Another guy that I want to see succeed at the big league level is Kevin Smith, and I'm going to be talking about him in just a second. Welcome back to the Locked On A's podcast. If you guys are enjoying the show and you've made it this far, please leave us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. Also, make sure to follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at ByJasonB on Twitter. And if you guys haven't already, subscribe to our YouTube channel, because that thing is it's a good time. It's a good time. I like the YouTubes. Then you can see this face. What do I look like? A regular guy. Anyways, it's been a while since we talked about Kevin Smith, but seemingly every time I look at a box score these days, he's hitting a homer. So today we're checking in on Kevin Smith. You may remember Smith being the starting third baseman at the beginning of the season, then getting sent down to AAA in June after he was hitting 180 with a 216 on base in the big leagues. He also started the season out 0-16, but he showed some flashes, but he never really fully recovered from that start. So he's been a work in progress, and after being sent to the minors, he didn't get much better, if we're going to be honest. By the end of July, so a month and a half in, he was batting .225 with a .279 on base, and then through August, same deal. He was hitting roughly the same on base. It hadn't been a great season for Kevin Smith, but this month, the month of September, he has found another gear. Through September 21st, Smith is batting .382 with a .413 on base and has homered four times in his last four games, and he has six total in the month. He was batting .220 to begin the month, and he's been so hot that he's batting .263 now. That's not bad. If you can turn around three and a half months of work in just a couple of weeks, yeah. He's on fire right now, you guys. .263. I think you'll take that from a hitter. And to the fact that he was hitting .220 in AAA, not great. .263, you're like, hey, that guy is having a season. Maybe we can look at him in 2023. He was also playing predominantly shortstop, his natural position, since the demotion. So it's not like quite his turnaround is not linked to him now playing shortstop, because he also was not great for a couple of months. But does he work his way into playing shortstop somehow? I know that Nick Allen is there, and he's an amazing defender at shortstop, but Kevin Smith might have a better bat if he's clicking, and he can also play some solid defense. So is it something where they think about moving Nick Allen over to second base? And if that's the case, why was Jordan Diaz at second base ever? He's played two games there in the big leagues now. I think that's as much as he was there all season. He hasn't played there is my thing, and I'm going to get hung up on this if they keep putting him at second base. Anyways, there's also the fact that Kevin Smith could return to third base, which would be another option. And he was phenomenal at third base to begin the season, defensively at the very least. His bat is what got him sent down. But if that is the case, what happens to Villamil Machin? Because Machin has been coming up with big hits recently, and in his last 30 games while getting consistent playing time, he's been batting a respectable .250 with a solid .340 on base percentage. Is he going to be a home run hitter? No, not at all. He's not a home run guy, but he could be a very nice table setter. I think that Tony Kemp's probably going to be on the team next year if he wants to be. But maybe Villamil Machin could be the leadoff hitter, or maybe they put one of the other outfielders over there. I don't know. But the only reason that I even bring up Machin here is that if Kevin Smith can figure out his bat at the big league level, his defense was grading out just remarkably well on Baseball Savant. So well, in fact, that his three outs above average still rank him 11th among all third basemen this season. And he has not been in the majors since June 10th. That is how good he is. He's better than two-thirds of the third basemen out there in the big leagues right now. He's better than Matt Chapman, according to OAA. So you can kind of take outs above average with a grain of salt, because we've all seen Matt Chapman play third base, and maybe the Blue Jays broke him and they fixed his bat instead. I don't know, but Kevin Smith would easily be a top three defender at third base over a full season, and that is an important position to have a very solid defender at. We saw it with Matt Chapman for a number of years, and if Kevin Smith can take those reins and also be a solid bat, if his bat is as good as Villamil Machin, which is doable, I think, then his glove is, I would argue, a lot better, and his arm a lot better. So it could be a close competition there, but Villamil Machin has been earning a spot. I don't know where you put him. Maybe he becomes trade bait for, you know, lower level minor leaguer or something like that. I don't know. But so let's dream upon a dream for a second here. If Smith makes the team next year and can hit a little more than he did this season, a decent amount more than he did this season, then that is a recipe for a few more wins in 2023. Because I mentioned earlier this week that improving team defense is a good way to have a quick turnaround and just get some extra wins after a lousy season. That is how teams do it, is improving their defense just around the diamond, and then, hey, all of a sudden, there you go. Then you got Nick Allen up the middle at either short or second base. You got Kevin Smith at third. Sean Murphy or Shea Langeliers behind the dish. Christian Pache, Ramon Laureano, and name another one of the A's athletic outfielders just patrolling the outfield. You could even put Seth Brown out there. He's been fairly good as an outfielder in the past. And then all of a sudden, with just those improvements right there, the A's defense is looking a whole lot better, and that could be a recipe for a few more wins heading into 2023. And then if they bring some bats too, all of a sudden this could be an interesting team heading into 2023. For those that are curious, Christian Pache still ranks number three in defensive outs above average in center field this season, and he's only played half a season. He's slightly above Byron Buxton, even with Buxton playing in more games. I believe he's got 10 more games than Christian Pache. So Christian Pache, obviously the best center fielder when it comes to Byron Buxton and himself. So that's a good time. And I mean, if you've seen Christian Pache play center field, you had a feeling that he's a special guy out there. But if you have Smith picking balls in the infield, Pache snagging them in center, Jordan Diaz slapping them at the dish, and Dermis Garcia launching them into another stratosphere, that makes for a very intriguing beginning to a roster at the very least. And I'm very intrigued by what the roster is going to look like. I'm going to be doing my opening day roster predictions shortly after the season ends. So make sure to subscribe to the podcast, because it's going to be a lot of fun, and there's going to be a lot of back and forth, I imagine. So definitely, I'll be posting these ones on YouTube. Go into the comments and be like, I don't know, I think that this might happen. Or find us on Twitter at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. But it's going to be all up to these guys and how they develop during the offseason, which is going to determine what the 2023 season is going to look like. They've gotten some time at the big league level now. Let's see what they can do with a little bit more experience going into next year. I'm excited. I like the pieces and the pitching staff. I talk about the pitching staff all the time. They're an intriguing bunch. I know Adrian Martinez did not have a great start, but he gave up 3 innings in the first run and then only gave up 5 in 5 innings. He settled things down a little bit, and so that was a growth moment. He's still got like a 6.10 ERA, but he settled things down. I'm intrigued to see what he does next year. And I know Kirby Snead got the loss, but I tweeted this out before. Kirby Snead is my breakout guy for the A's next year. His ball just moves too much. Something's going to get fixed in the offseason. I got to believe it. And he's going to be fantastic for the A's in relief. And I'll get into the whys and all that stuff in just a couple of weeks when the season's over. But anyways, that's all I got for you guys today. Thank you so much for making the Locked On A's your first listen of the day. Now, go make Locked On MLB your second listen of the day, because Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings humor and passion and a unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB. They're on the Odyssey app, they're on YouTube, and they're wherever you guys get podcasts. Locked On A's is also in all of those places, so do us and Sully. Do both. But anyways, that's all that I got for you guys today. So until next time, go out and celebrate good times, A's fans, and I will talk at you tomorrow.